You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Without further ado, Matt Berry joins us here on 98.7 ESPN. You see him all over SportsCenter. A huge sports fan and contributes to our sports content on ESPN. Matt, thank you so much for spending some time with us this evening. I really do appreciate it. How are you?
Anita, my pleasure. I'm doing well. You know, we're finally in the midst of a little golf weather here in the Northeast, so playing a lot of golf, enjoying the golf, being back, and hopefully we keep trending in the right direction with every sport.
Yeah, tell me about it. You know, anytime you want to take a ride up here, you know, I could get us on a few good courses, you know.
I'm in. Yes. Look, we've got plenty of time on our hands to play before we start getting busy again.
What's your handicap?
I am now in the high 14s.
Okay. That's so funny. I was just, and not to name drop, but I'm good friends with Kevin Burkett, and he literally was just texting me right now, and he's playing a lot of golf, and I asked him, what's your handicap? And he said, so the three of us are all 14s. So,
you know what it is, too, with that handicap? Is I play a lot of golf with a lot of players from a 7 to a, you know, let's call it 7 to a 17. And anybody right in that middle spot, you find is putting. And
it goes
that way with players like us and the pros. The goal of golf, right, is to get the ball in the hole. And if you're three putting or missing putt, the difference between a par saving putt to a bogey or a bogey saving putt to a double bogey, if you add up those strokes through the course of a round, that's the difference between, let's call it, an 88 and an 85 and an 84. You could wake up tomorrow and be an 11.
For sure. For sure. I can't, like, you know, just from playing organized and professional sports my whole life, my brain, like, I can go back and I could remember, like, when I played women's football, I can go back and I can remember every play, every pass, who was open, why didn't I look them off, that was a bad mistake. I find myself doing the same thing now in golf when I'm done with a round. I'll look back and I'll be like, oh man, that shot on 16 and that putt on 8, and I can go back and I can remember every stroke and every shot. And when I go back, Matt, it's at least anywhere between 4 or 5 putts that could have been the difference of me breaking 80.
That's the beauty and the addiction of the sport. Like I tell anyone, I do Maddie and the Caddy, the podcast, at ESPN, the golf podcast, and do our coverage at the Masters, and it'll be a part of the PGA Championship. That if you talk to anyone who plays the game, as I tell it, you know, you drive the ball all day, you could be up in and around the green, but I would encourage anyone who loves the sport and loves the game like we do, next time you go out, and I'm being serious, take your scorecard out, and every time you're on a hole where there's a wasted shot, I want you to notate that somewhere on your scorecard. Just a quick, like, asterisk of what the wasted shot was. Count those up at the end of the round, and you'd be surprised at the reality of what your skill level could be relative to what you're doing. And just clean up those mistakes, and it'll be great.
Again, Matt Berry joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. Because, let's face it, the PGA Tour, the only thing that's active and attractive, like I said before, unless you're up at like 1:30 in the morning watching Korean baseball or you're gambling on ping pong like Doug Kazarian does. Don't tell him I told you. but here's the thing, Matt. DeChambeau, dude went out, ton of protein shakes. Really didn't watch what he ate specifically, just kind of like wanted to bulk up. Let's be honest, he's got the dad bod. He still has a little bit of gut. But here's the thing. To me, it's not so much the weight that he put on. Matt, it's his club head speed. It's ridiculous. It makes me nervous. It's so fast. I can't wrap my head around it, Matt.
See, what people don't know about him, and maybe they do, is that Bryson is one of those players who he's a lab rat and a scientist that understands the dynamics of the swing and the angles and the math and everything wrapped around it. And he went in during quarantine, took the 13 weeks off or however many weeks he had off. And he basically came to the conclusion via math and studying, et cetera, that if he put himself in a position to hit more 9 irons and wedges, he would have a better opportunity to compete and win in more tournaments. That's it. Everyone's like, why did he do this? Don't read into it. he did it because he did a mathematical study on the fact that he knew that he could win with wedges and putting. And so you look at some of his driving statistics coming out of Rocket Mortgage, and they're absolutely absurd. He hit a 9-iron, I think, the other day from 180 yards out. He just found a way to put on the weight, use the strength to mathematically give himself a better chance to win. Now, I said it today on the podcast, and I'll say it again here. Whether that's sustainable beyond 2 years, I don't know. Every time you see some of these players bulk up, Tiger, Rory, Jason Day, some of these guys that come to mind, it's physically not the greatest thing on your body. But if he can find a way to stay healthy, he believes that he has put, and at least has proven at this point, he's put together a game plan based on science that looks to be dangerous for the rest of the PGA if he keeps this up.
Favored now going into the Masters, 10-1. Tiger is 16-1.
Yeah, but see, that's just for talking purposes. At the end of the day, and Bryson, I believe, he had either the 18-hole lead or the 36-hole lead, I believe it was last year. It's all running together now because of how many things have been put on hold. But here's the deal with Augusta National. You know the Masters. I've been there and done it several times. You could be a bomber off. That's all well and good. Augusta National, the Masters, comes down to putting. That's it. The conversation stops and starts with putting. If Bryson can putt, he'll contend. If he can't putt, he won't, regardless of how far he is off the tee.
Again, Matt Barry joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. All right, so very interesting situation that's happening on tour. And I'm curious, you might have the answer here. I don't. Was there ever a time that the tour stayed in one stop for two straight weeks? Because we got the Workday Charity Open happening this week. In Ohio, and the same course is going to host the Memorial the following week.
Yeah, I believe it happened back in 1989. The course is escaping my memory, but I know that I was just doing some reading on it a little while ago, that it did happen back in 1989, where there was consecutive weeks of a tournament playing at the same course. It is definitely going to be interesting because you're going to have it set up a little bit differently between the Workday and the Memorial. I know the Memorial made the big announcement of no fans next week like they were supposed mm-hmm. to. But, you know, it's a good thing for these players to be able to – I mean, you've seen this now for a couple of weeks, 3 weeks now, where they're hopping all over the place, and now they get to stay in a place for 2 weeks. It was Harbortown, 89 – was in the last time it happened in South Carolina. But you get an opportunity to, like, it's been a lot. These guys are getting tested every week. They're traveling. They're getting tested every day. I like the fact, play at Jack's course for a couple of weeks. Let these guys settle down a little bit, because now you're getting into the middle part of July, and we're creeping up on the first major championship at the PGA Championship out in the Bay Area. So it's going to be good, at least for a couple of weeks, for kind of everybody to take a breath, compete in a major like situation with the Memorial in 2 weeks, of which we'll see if you know who is going to announce whether or not he's playing in that event.
Tiger.
Right.
All right. So this week, Workday Charity Open. I contribute to the chalk picks that will be on ESPN.com tomorrow. And here are my picks. Decky. I love Decky coming in. I like what I saw with his approach shots. If his putter makes an appearance this week, I'm pretty excited. Here's my sleeper, though. Here's the guy.
Okay.
100-1, Matt. Ryan Armour. Dude's on fire right now. I'm playing him to win. I'm playing him top 5, top 10, top 20, top 40. And every single day I'm playing him in match play. I think Ryan Armour has just been great.
He's been creeping up. You see his name on that first page of the leaderboard quite a bit. So I like the Ryan Armour pick. When we did our Maddie Nicaddy picks today, a sleeper that I like, good value, 3 top 10s, made 11 or 14 cuts this year, Max Homa.
Ooh.
He's a guy to watch.
Okay.
I think Justin Thomas. I like the Justins this week. I like Justin Thomas. I like Justin Rose. I like both of those players going in. Some good value over the guy like Matthew Fitzpatrick. who's out there. I believe Bones is going to be on his bag, and you know Bones knows the Memorial a lot, having caddied for Phil Mickelson forever. And don't forget local Columbus guy Jason Day. If anyone needs the comfort of some good home cooking, it's Jason Day, former world number one, major championship caliber game. Keep an eye out for Day.
Here's another one for you before I let you go. Jerry Kelly, 8-1 to finish in the... Follow me here. Jerry Kelly, 8-1 to finish in the top 40. The metrics you need here, accuracy, top of the board in regard to par three scoring, putting, scrambling, good out of the sand. I spent a good few hours today looking at all the metrics, and his name kept on popping up in every metric. So I'm like, Wisconsin's Jerry Kelly. 8-1 to finish in the top 40? Matt, why not?
Hey, look, I mean, is he comped on DraftKings? Is he a giveaway? Like, hey, if you...
I think he's like $6,000.
I'm just trying to figure out what the price tag on Jerry Kelly is. That's an amazing find. You could have given me a month, and I probably wouldn't have even ID'd him as an option.
Anyway, all right. Matt, again, we so appreciate your time tonight. Thank you so much. Please provide the information in regard to the podcast with you and Michael.
Yeah, we dropped it today. We try to record on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. It's Maddie and Caddy, M-A-T-T-Y, and C-A-D-D-I-E. Get it wherever you get your golf pod or your podcast, ESPN, Apple, iTunes, whatever the case might be. We call it Weekly T-Box Dysfunction. We taught golf, but then somehow today we ended up getting on a tangent about Dr. Pimple Popper. So it's that kind of podcast with golf mixed in.
It's like it's a train wreck, right? Like it's so
That's
disgusting.
Exactly right. And we're proud.
You can't stop watching it.
That's right.
Really quick, who did Michael pick to win this week?
Who did Michael take this week?
Do you remember?
I don't remember because his picks were so bad last week. Oh, wait, I have it right here. Who did he – no, I don't have the updated picks. None of his picks.
Here's the thing. Go listen to the podcast and find out.
That's a tease. That's why I love it.
There you go. Matt, have a great night. Thank you.
All right, let's play golf soon. Take care.
Please. Yes. Don't tease me with a good time. Anita Markson for Chris Carlin tonight. Hopefully we'll help you win some. Jerry Kelly. Boy, that's some deep, deep analysis. From this chick right here. 8-1, Jerry Kelly to finish in the top 40.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.